Good morning. This is Stacy Turner out of Indianapolis. I'm filling in this morning for Kelly and Jennifer, who are at the WQA convention, and hope everything's going well for them there. This morning's topic is going to be on sales slumps and how to get out of one. If you've ever been in sales for any length of time, then at some point in time you've probably had a slump where no matter what you do, you can't sell a thing. There are ways that I have found over the years to re-motivate or re-energize myself on how to get out of a slump. It never hurts to look at what actually causes a slump. A lot of times we tend to self-sabotage and it can be over price increases, because if you've been in the industry for a while, prices will change. And I always find that some reps have trouble readjusting to quoting that new price. They're upset. People are never going to buy at this price. All sorts of things. Give them a couple months. Next thing you know, people are buying at that price. Also, the change of equipment. I know different companies have done upgrades over the last couple of years or changed equipment. And if you cannot explain your equipment simply, then you don't know it very well. People really want to know what it's going to do for them and what the benefits are. So one of the ways of actually getting out of a slump is to go back to the basics and restudy your equipment. Even if it's not new equipment, go back through and find those features and benefits that customers are looking for. The best way to be successful is not to try to be successful. Try to provide value, because that's what the customer is really looking for. Because the basics of a slump is you're just not connecting with those customers as well. So you've got to go back and find those basics that help you connect. There could also be, you know, changes in the market. Right now, gas prices are skyrocketing, so people are might be getting nervous. Some people had issues during the pandemic, whether it was getting equipment in or getting into homes. You know, it could slow things down, and as salespeople, those things can get in our head. Some of the other ways to kind of break those habits, I always find if I clean and organize my test kit and my binder, get it reorganized, refresh what's in there, look at what I'm doing. Always look professional. Make sure you have a logo. And the other thing I find that seems silly, but it's not, that helps, is to make sure I exercise every morning. Those endorphins tend to get you on a high, which flow throughout the day. So I find that if I slump on my exercising, I tend to sometimes slump on my sales. But just reorganize things. Also, if you cannot still get out of the slump, try it with another sales rep. See what they're doing differently than what you're doing, or ask your boss to ride with you. And take the criticism for what it is, the attempt to really help you improve your sales. As salespeople, we tend to sometimes be offensive at other people telling us how to do our job. But some of those people are doing it very, very well and can help remind you of what you're missing or what you're not doing. The other things is to always go back to the basics. Not only are you restudying your equipment, relearning it, finding out what customers need, but going back to, I think most of us do have a seven-step sales call, basically. Starting out with the pre-call planning. So very important to know your area and know what's going on. In that pre-call, do you have the customer confidence report? Do you know the water for that area, and do you have a copy of it to give to the customer? Do you know who your close customers are in that neighborhood? If you just sold a house, if you just recently put equipment in one of the neighbor's houses, make sure you know that and you can bring those people up. Also, never hurts to stop by and visit them when they're in the neighborhood. Also, just to do a follow-up call, and it never hurts to get referrals. Also, know your competition. If you're working in a particular neighborhood, know your competition for that area. And we're not talking about bashing anybody ever. Apples and oranges, compare them. Let them know what your equipment does compared to their equipment. Changes, but be honest about it because people are going to know. And I've had people tell me over the years that they really liked me because I didn't bash the competition, even though the competition may have slammed me or other companies. I just never bash the competition. So get that out of your repertoire if it's in there. Just be honest and upfront about what your equipment can do because that's what customers really want to know. Do your comparisons. When it comes to, you know, after the pre-call planning and you know what's going on, what's in the area, always look professional and know the water. The next thing when you get there is the greeting and rapport building. Some people just kind of bulldoze through an appointment. And do not take the time to get to know the customer. You know, sit down with them, get to know them, and then start on your needs analysis after you've built some rapport, whether it's, you know one of their neighbors or you see something in the house that's a common hobby or something you're involved with. You know, find some kind of connection with them while you're rapport building. And then roll into that needs analysis and find out what their concerns truly are. And then at that point in time, after you find out what their issues are, what they're looking for, because what they may be looking for and what we think they're looking for could be two different things, and then go into the site survey. Each step takes a little bit of time, but you really need to know what they need to go on before the next step. And this is sometimes where you can reevaluate what you're doing. Are you missing things? We had a sales rep a couple of years ago who's a very good sales rep. But we had a customer call in that was upset, didn't feel like she understood anything of what she was getting or what was going on. So I ended up going out to redo the appointment. And what we found out in the process was she kept saying, oh, he didn't do this, he didn't do this, he didn't, you know, he didn't do that, he didn't explain this. And I talked to him afterwards. I said, so why did you skip all these steps with her? Well, I was kind of in a hurry because I had like 3 appointments right in a row in like a 2-hour period, and they booked me too tight. And I'm like, the office shouldn't be booking you that tight. Well, I kind of did it to myself. I shoved her in between other appointments. And I said, so my question to him is, so why does she not deserve your full attention and the amount of time that she to go over what she needs to know? He's like, I don't know. I said, that might be where your problem lies. Give each person your full attention and make them feel respected. If you make them feel respected and heard, everybody wants to be heard, then they will listen to you if they feel like you're listening to them. So don't rush through the appointment. Don't rush through the test. Don't rush through anything. The site survey is very important, especially if it's going to be a more difficult install, if they're not just pre-plumbed. Explain to them, you know, how the plumbing would work, whether it's a softener or a drinking water system or any other kind of filtration system. Explain where everything would go, approximate size. I pull out my tape measure, especially if we're in a laundry room and we're taking up some of the room they use for doing their laundry. I pull out my tape measure and I show them the space. It's the little things that will get them to pay attention to you and to listen to you and to trust you, because that's what you really need. After the site survey and the needs analysis and the site survey, the tests and demonstrations. Make sure they're paying attention. Get them involved. If they have small children, I'll let them count the drops that I'm doing for the hardness test. Little kids love to see it change, the water test change colors. If you involve their kids, they will be paying attention. Or involve them. I always like to ask, how hard do you think your water is in this area? And I've had people say, you know, after going over, you know, the chart of 10.5 being extremely high, some people will say, oh, we're probably 8 or 9, and some people say, oh, we're 50. And yeah, they're in between there, but most people do not know, but they've got a mindset, and you're going to help them validate that their water is hard. So take those tests and demonstrations seriously. Are you still doing the basic water test for testing for hardness, chlorine, things like that? Besides doing the demonstrations, a lot of people will kind of skip out on the demonstrations. Are you doing the tea demo? Showing them the different colors of the tea with their hard water and with reverse osmosis water? Are you doing the soap demo? One of the ones I like besides just the suds demo is when I've got my mini out doing the demonstration. And I also use my mini to explain how a water softener actually works, because in the mini they can see the resin beads and I can explain this to them. But the washcloth demo, that's very powerful when they pull a washcloth out of their closet and you rinse it in the soft water and all the suds come out. They start realizing why their towels are so hard and crunchy. There are other tests. Everybody, you know, pick the tests that you feel are most comfortable for you, but do those demos and tests so that people can see these things. It never also hurts to, if you've been doing these things, change them up. Pull something out that you don't feel comfortable with and put something else in that you feel more comfortable with. The whole key to a successful sales presentation is you feeling comfortable with it and making them feel comfortable with it. I don't know if anybody's on here today. Does anybody have any questions or thoughts?
I'll say, very good job this morning.
Oh, thank you. Who is this?
Scott, Alabama.
Okay, terrific. So how long have you been in the industry?
In March, it was 5 years.
Terrific. So do you ever find that you have sales bumps from time to time?
If anybody's in sales, it's the term riding the roller coaster.
It is.
The highs can never be too high. The lows can never be too low. A lot of times, you can get in a slump where if you work a lot, that I can find myself going through the motions, and I have to, like, go back, refocus, do some of the things that you've talked about. I've also found that in the past, if you get into an appointment and you say something and it gets traction because it's one of their hot buttons, but you start using it in other appointments where it's not exactly as important to them, and you
exactly.
kind of get off the path, then you've got to go back, focus, go back to the basics, and make sure that you're doing a good discovery fact finding on the front end, of finding out really why you're there.
Exactly.
What they're trying to solve. And know that when you go through the demo, that this will solve your problem. But did you know about this? Did you know about this? Did you know about this? Because if you go out and you just solve the problems they have, you haven't built any value. You've got to say, this will solve the problem that you brought me out here for. But did you know about this? Did you know about this? Did you know about this? And at the end, when you give your price, you've provided the value because you're solving their problem, but all of these other things that they didn't even know about.
Exactly. And you brought up a good point earlier was when you get too busy, you tend to just go through the motions. I'll be the first to say I hate having too many appointments in a day. Yes, we all love having lots of appointments. But when you feel like you're rushing from one to the next, there are things you skip out on, you miss, and then by the time you get to that last appointment of the day, you're exhausted. And there are a lot of times that I'm pulling up to that appointment, I'm like, oh, do I really have to? And a lot of times, as long as you get yourself in the right mind, those are the ones that turn out to be your best deals for the whole day. But how many of those appointments throughout the day did we not give it our full, give them their full value because we're too busy? So it's kind of like I like to try to control my schedule. And if the office, because we end up with a lot of office scheduled appointments because of the national advertising. And if they start, you know, putting in too many appointments, I'll block out a time period just and put paperwork on it. So I have a breather. I can get lunch because there are days they will schedule me that there's no time for lunch. And I'm like, oh, come on, guys. but they're not thinking about it because I've got 7 different people that could be booking appointments. It doesn't register that, okay, I really could be in that house for 2 hours if I'm doing, you know, my job well, plus that I'm doing their financing and their paperwork and all that stuff. Then I got to get to the next appointment. So making sure there's a little time in between for yourself to decompress and not rush through everything always helps also. I think I came off of probably January, probably 2 of my slowest months in a long time. And I'm 8.5 years into this industry. And then March was my best month ever. And it just, sometimes it just, but it sits down and it's also taking that. And a lot of that came from going back in and resetting equipment and focusing on one of our units that is basically our top unit and just really studying all those features and benefits for that one and how it works and explaining it to people. And I'm still showing them the different options, but I had one person look at me and said, I want that one. And looked at her husband and said, that's the one I want. And they'll do it. And I've had people go from wanting to rent to wanting to buy the top of the line because of how much time I took to explain how it works and the benefits of it. So a lot of it's just taking that time to really know your equipment and make it easy for them to understand. But yes, the question and answer session during the rapport building and the needs analysis, you've got to find what they're really looking for, but also find how you can help them and make them happier in the long run. Because there are things they need and want that they didn't realize they needed and wanted. Do we have any other thoughts or comments out there? I know we're done a little early, but I figure everybody can get to work. So I think we'll close this up because I've covered what I wanted to cover. I hope everyone has a great rest of the week. Take care. Bye-bye.